Welcome, welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now, up to bat, Brett Boone.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I'm Brett Boone, and today we're joined by my brothers getting ready for the ALDS. Welcome, Yankee skipper Aaron Boone. Arnie, thanks for coming on the program. Yeah. I like the header. Huh? It's pretty good.
Yeah, the header.
Little brother. Before we get going here, I wanted to talk about a couple days ago, we lost, obviously, one of the greats in Pete Rose. We both have longstanding relationships. I'm sure you've been asked a lot about Pete. I've definitely been asked a lot, and I've shared my thoughts. To the guys out there listening, what are your thoughts on Pete, and what do you remember most about him?
I mean, certainly sad. You know, I know both you and I reached out to Pete Jr. just checking in. And we both have a ton of history with Jr. and, you know, just a larger than life figure. And, you know, one of those guys that was the ultimate competitor. You know, he was Pete Rose, Reggie Jackson, Willie Mays, whoever. Like, he was that big of a figure in sports, and certainly a brash guy, or I don't know if that's the right word, but certainly a huge personality, and somebody that it's been cool to kind of, on some level, I know you've stayed in touch with him over the years, but me too. You know, I probably talk to him every other year or every year. You know, you bump into him or your paths cross or somebody's on the phone and he's there and hands you the phone. And obviously a central figure in the 1980 World Championship Philly team that obviously we were close to. So it's sad, but just a iconic figure that will certainly be missed, and was a character till the end.
I think, and when you talk about that, I think, you know, how do you sum up Pete? And I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, there's certain people you meet in your life on this journey, especially our journey in baseball, our entire lives, that really you look at them and you go, well, they broke the mold with that guy. There's only one Pete. You know, in my life, there's only one Lou Piniella. There's only one Pete Rose. And I think, as you mentioned, Reggie Jackson type. You know, Reggie's bigger than life, and one of the oldest living legends at this point. But there's just a few guys. You know, I had him on the show a couple months ago. And the one thing about Pete, and I try to tell people, I've never seen him wake up in a bad mood or sad. And the last time I talked to him, just a couple months ago, you know, he had a little sad side to him. I think he was genuinely, and as we all get, as life goes on for us, once our careers are over, I think you get a little more humble as you get a little more old and wiser. That's just life. But I think for the first time I really felt with Pete, he was genuinely remorseful for what he did. He just, you know, because at first he denied it, then he came back, but he said, Brett, the problem with it, he said, you know, they're probably not going to put me in, and if they do, it'll be when I'm dead, and what's it worth? You know, is it worth that to my family? The reason I wanted to go in the Hall of Fame is to share it with my family and my friends, and that was the one time I've never seen Pete like that, and he was just kind of in that mood. Then he got right back into Pete mode, and he was throwing out numbers, and you know that I reached base 5,196 times, because that's the type of brain he had, but yeah. I was just getting on to do the postseason kind of wrap up with Tyler Kepner when the news hit, and they put me on the spot right away. And I was kind of, you know how you think about it. It's like, okay, he's 83. He's not going to be here forever. But when it actually happens and you sit down and just kind of take it in, it is kind of an emotional thing, because yeah, we've been with him for so long. You don't know how it's going to hit you. You know, it's coming, you know, the end's close, but when it happens, it's surreal. Did that happen to you?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you don't, even though he's 83, he still felt like this young guy that he's going to be around, you know, for so much longer. He just had that kind of presence to him. You know, I'm not a big storyteller. I don't recall stories very well, but and this is not for right now, but there are two stories that are go-tos of mine that are Pete Rose stories and told to me at different points in our life by Pete Jr. That I share with people, and it's usually takes the room down when they hear it, and they are classic Pete Rose stories.
Do you have a short version of one of them?
No, it's too long.
All right. It's too late.
And a little vulgar.
Yeah. Is it the batting cage one?
One of them's the batting cage one.
Yeah. And only Pete Jr. can tell it too. He tells it like no other.
Oh yeah.
All right. Before we get to the Yankees, I want to talk about the other team in New York. Close friend of yours. I know you speak very highly of him. He was your bench coach a year ago. Carlos Mendoza and what he's doing with the Mets. You told me how good of a guy he is, and I'd really like him. I got to meet him early in the season when I went back to Cincinnati for some appearances I had back there, and he came over during BP. I ended up talking to him for a half hour. Acted like we knew each other our whole life. I was really impressed with Carlos, especially what he's done with the Mets this year. You know, they kind of came out of nowhere. A couple months ago, nobody was talking about the Mets, and all of a sudden they squeak into the postseason. They've kind of had this they kind of got a nose for the finish line, and they've been down and out so many times, and they keep coming back and winning. They're 1-1 right now with Milwaukee. They got one to play. But are you surprised that the Mets have done this well? I know you're not surprised about the job your friend's doing, but are you surprised the Mets are at the point they are?
Maybe just a little after, because the first 2 months were so rough. But I think if you look at them now, you look at them on paper, it's a really talented team. And I know from playing them, we played them four times. They kicked our butt this year. I mean, they beat us four times, two at their place, two here. So they kind of had our number this year. I can't say I'm surprised now. Maybe if you would have said back in May, like, oh, they're going to go to the playoffs and everything, just because of the hole they had dug for themselves. And I thought Mendy was great through all that, like first time going through it. And now it's all on your plate and it's rough. And I thought he handled it all so well. But I think if you look at him now and look at the players they're running out there and, they're playing really well. And those guys are confident. And that's a big thing this time of year. They believe they're going to win. So you never know what's going to happen today in a win or go home. But I feel like if nothing else, they're going to walk out there with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it's interesting because as a player, when you're down there, sometimes, and I'm sure you've been on teams, I've been on teams where the public really doesn't give you a chance. And as players, you just kind of sit in the locker room and smile like, okay, we'll show you. I think a year ago with Texas and Arizona proved that theory that nobody gave those guys a chance in hell of winning.
I think when Lindor's doing what he's doing, playing at an MVP level, and then, Iglesias coming in and really having this huge impact. And then Manaea has definitely gone to another level as a pitcher this year and really been somebody to hang their hat on in the second half. So they've done a lot of good things.
I was just thinking about it. You know, it's more of an NFL term, but you're starting to kind of have a Boone coaching tree. You've got dad to you. Now you got Mendoza. It'll be interesting. Yeah. All right. Yankees, your number one seed. You paying close attention to these wild card games? You watching as much as I am?
Oh yeah. We've been working out every day here. I'm at the yard now, but yeah, it's been fun to watch these games kind of unfold. Keeping tabs on them, and it's a fun week as a baseball fan watching it unfold, and obviously the Baltimore Kansas City series directly affecting us, and but it's been a fun week to watch baseball for sure.
How about for you? You can speak as a player as a manager or both. Is it nice having this break to kind of sit back, get everything lined up and kind of see what's going on, give the guys a little bit of a breather at the end of the year? I know as a player, sometimes you just want to go, but you really didn't care. If you had it depended on the team, the injury status at that time, whether you needed a few days. A lot of times you're hot, you want to just keep going. But I think a rest is always nice to kind of regroup and just get set and get ready so you can get all your ducks in a row. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, look, whatever happens with us or with the teams that get a bye, it's obviously a big talking point with the new playoff format and the teams that win the division or get a bye. Is that rest? Does that lead to rust? And does that lead to, or does it help you and move you on? And we're going to look back on whatever happens with us, the Guardians, the Dodgers, the Phillies, and say the layoff hurt them or it helped them. And it's probably not really either. I mean, I'm sure there's a factor some way, shape, or form. Right. But ultimately, it's going to come down to it's a five-game series, and it's baseball, and anything can happen. And hopefully this time down serves us well and allows us to line up how we want. You know, there's guys that are banged up to varying degrees at this time of year. So, you know, you get to reset in that way. You know, but we're excited for the challenge of it. And we're excited to get ready to play in the Bronx on Saturday night. So that's about as how I look at it. And I know it's going to be scrutinized however way it goes about the layoff or not the layoff.
Right. And I laugh because people are, it's whatever happens. You're right. That becomes the narrative when really you look at a Detroit-Houston series. Detroit went in and kicked their butt two in a row. They both had no layoff. That's what they wanted. We're both, hey, let's just keep going. And that's what happens. So if this happened 5 days later and Houston gets beat, it's because of the layoff. But now there's no rhyme or reason.
Correct.
Detroit, man, they got hot the second half and snuck in. Just like KC. I mean, kind of a couple teams, man. They're really it's been interesting to watch and definitely not the outcome I thought. The San Diego outcome, that's what about I expected. Yeah. But the rest, I'm up in the air on it. All right. Some question marks with the Yankees. Obviously, you lose Rizzo, key part of that infield, really shores up the defense. And I know, you know, the defense at first base is not talked about that much, but I do know how important it is being an infielder and having a great one over there that really kind of keeps everybody in line. You're going to be missing him. Who should we look for first base in the series?
We'll see. I mean, it could be, you know, any Cabrera, Rice. I've been working Birdie over there. There's still a long shot that it could even be Rizzo. So we're waiting to get all the news on him and see if he's in play. So if assuming Riz is out the first round, we'll mix and match over there and just try and figure it out and get guys in good spots.
Latest update on Nestor Cortez. He had the MRI. Get us up to date on that.
Yeah. So he's just in the kind of a no throw portion. So we won't really know much for another several days. Like as he starts to ramp up, like, is he going to be an option in the, if we are able to advance.
Left field, Verdugo and Dominguez, you going to mix and match? You going to pick your spots or do you have a set?
Yeah, we'll see. I got about 24 hours to make that call. I would put Grish in that mix, Trent Grisham. We're actually inter-squadding today. I'm playing him out there as well. Birdie can go out there. So, you know, I'm hoping somebody just kind of grabs it and runs with it, but you also may have to mix and match a little bit and play different matchups even within a game.
Last question about the roster. With Nestor, the situation, that has probably changed things for you, whether it's from a bullpen standpoint or setting up your starting rotation. Obviously, Cole's going to be at the top of the rotation. I'm assuming Rodon's there. And you got some options in that three-hole with a heel, a Clark Schmidt, and a Marcus Stroman that has been there all year. Any thoughts on that third spot now, or is that going to be see how it goes?
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be between Schmidt or Heel. And we'll probably on some way have them both available out of the bullpen in some way, some potential role, the first two games, and then kind of see where we are at game three. Because we go game one off day, game two off day, and then game three. So we'll probably have both those guys available, but it'll be Cole, Rodon, and then TBD, but between Schmidt and Heel for that game three.
I think it is an interesting question for the audience, for the fans out there is, but by the time the season ends and now you have this break, you're watching the first set of playoffs from home, but there's a lot that's going on behind the scenes. Take us behind the scenes a little bit with your interaction with Brian Cashman and the front office getting ready, setting the rosters before in this 3 or 4 day window you have before you start playing again?
Yeah. So I kind of, Monday we had an off day. Tuesday we were here and had kind of a traditional workout. We did some bunt coverages and first and third stuff, and then just kind of had a normal BP. And then yesterday, Wednesday, we had a sim game. We played 6 innings. We have some minor leaguers here too to fill out the rosters. So we had 6 innings where Rodon threw 4 innings, Stroman threw a couple innings, and then some of our relievers went. And then after that, we kind of got together as a, you know, coaching staff, some of the front office, and had that kind of preliminary roster meeting. How many pitchers do we want to go with? We didn't know our opponent yet. This is before, you know, Kansas City had officially won. So it's like, do we want to go, you know, 13 pitchers, 14 pitchers? I mean, 14 position players, 15 position players, because we have the off days in a 5-game series. You can go shorter on the pitchers. Who fills out that last spot on the bench? Who fills out that last spot for a pitching staff? So those are the conversations that we kind of start to have. Hear different people's ideas. Like if somebody wants to weigh in strongly on a conversation or a topic or a question we have. And then we'll start to now over the next 24 hours, really start to hone in before, you know, we make that final call.
From a skipper's perspective, a year ago in the postseason, I had Bruce Bochy on during his run a couple times. And I played for Bruce 1 year in San Diego. I think like everybody else, nobody's got anything negative. Hall of Fame managerial career. And he said, Booney, I learned a lot from the first time I went to the postseason in the World Series to this stage of my life. He says, I realize you got to manage a little bit different with a little urgency when you get to the postseason. From your perspective, and you've had quite a bit of experience for since you've been managing being in that postseason.
Mm-hmm.
What's your perspective? What's the biggest difference between regular season and postseason from a managerial perspective?
Yeah, I think that urgency and definitely maybe your aggressiveness in going to get a starter. You know, I remember in 19, Paxton went out and I think in game 2 and struggled early, you know, but he was a stud, you know, and I got him early. I think I got end up taking him out in the second inning or even first inning just because it didn't look right and didn't go well. We end up losing that game, but we kind of held the line bullpen wise the rest of the day, and we had an off day behind it before we went home. And then Paxton came back and threw in an elimination game in game 5, I think into the 6th or 7th, really pitched well at home for us, a big W. So I think you're just in some instances a little more aggressive depending on what you have lined up, but then again every team's a little bit different too. Like, what are your strengths and weaknesses? Like, Or, you know, you're watching a Detroit team that, you know, obviously they have Scooble. That's a different day. But beyond that, they're just truly piecing it together with a lot of really good arms that they're just going to mix and match. So whereas some teams have a little more of the traditional starter, we're going to go up against Kansas City that has, you know, obviously Reagans is really good. Lugo. We're going to see Waka in game 1, who's really good. So, every team's a little bit different, and you got to manage that accordingly. But you definitely tend to be a little more aggressive with some decision making, whereas the big picture is a little more in mind during the regular season, where I feel like you got to log starter innings to preserve yourself for the long haul.
Bronx. I know it's a new stadium than when we were playing. Well, you probably played the new Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. I never did. But it's a different animal. You know, I've been to the postseason a few times in New York, and it's a different animal. I loved it. There's nothing like it being on that big stage in the postseason. Obviously, you had one of the biggest home runs of all time on that stage. It's just different. It's just different. The ghosts have come out, or the ghosts at the new Yankee Stadium. Cause I remember the Jeter story you told me about the ghosts. And I'll tell you what, I believe it. Cause I had a couple things happen in the postseason, one with Atlanta, one with Seattle, where I just kind of looked around and went, wait a minute, something weird's going on. Something out of this world's going on. Talk about a little bit the Bronx and the difference in that postseason. It's one of the greatest atmospheres, I think, in all of sports. You saw Philly a year ago. That was pretty awesome. San Diego right now is rocking. But I don't think there's anything like being in the Bronx postseason, that cool air, not to get sentimental with you, but it's just a different place. You can kind of close your eyes, open them, and you know where you're at. You know where you're somewhere special.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we haven't won a World Series here since 2009, which was the first year of the building of the new one. And you hear it's not the old place all the time. I'll tell you what, I've witnessed some pretty awesome atmospheres here in the new stadium since I've been manager. And that's, you know, whether it's wild card games, whether it's division series, championship series, those occasional regular season games that really deliver a special environment. So it's going to be awesome. It'll be exciting. You'll feel it. And then hopefully, you know, you kind of get some things going where then all of a sudden Yankee Stadium and our crowd becomes that real home field advantage where, you know, hopefully the other team feels that a little bit. But that's on us to get that going a little bit. But we'll definitely feel it here.
It's an awesome place. I was thinking about this the other day. I was asked this question. I said, I'll ask Aaron the same question. Get to the postseason. For me, I could care less. But the times are weird. When you get that postseason schedule, you got to schedule TV. So you see the staggered games in the first round. You know, you got one game starting in the morning, afternoon, late afternoon, early evening, depending if you're on the West or the East Coast. Does that affect you at all? As a player, I got so much adrenaline. It's postseason. I don't care. Give me the time. I'll be there.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, and more often than not, we get the night game with the Yankees. Put us on. But with that said, we've had a couple of day games too that have had some that have created some of the most awesome games in my memory of our postseasons here over the last several years. I don't think it matters much. It's you're playing for everything. So much is on the line, and whether we're at night or in the afternoon, everyone seems to know that.
All right, last thing, I'll let you go. From what you're seeing, your scouting report, I know you were 5-2 this year against the Kansas City Royals. Quick scouting report on the Royals, what you're expecting from them.
They've righted the ship. They struggled a little bit down the stretch and then, you know, kind of got it going a little bit there at the end, then just obviously pitched an amazing series against in Baltimore. You know, a little bit, you mentioned Texas. Texas last year really struggled and limped into the playoffs and then just kind of caught fire. So they can pitch. You know, Reagans is real. Lugo's real. Waka, who we've faced a lot, who's had a lot of success against us in different uniforms over the years, he's real. Singer's real. Their bullpen, which on balance over the course of the year, you know, has been kind of middle of the pack, has really down the stretch pitched really well. And obviously Urseg now being there anchoring the back end of that bullpen. We saw their bullpen play a big role for them against Baltimore. Obviously they got one of the game's great young players and Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvi and his experience and getting Pasquantino back, who they, when he went down, it really changed their team there for a while. And him getting coming back, being a little bit of a presence there in the middle of their order changes their offense a little bit. You know, they're pretty athletic. They run. They're a well-balanced team, and they're going to hand the ball to a real starter every game against us.
I agree with you. I looked at Lugo and Waka. They were in San Diego a year ago. These guys are pros. You know, Reagans is nasty. He's on a given night, he's an elite left-handed pitcher. But to watch Lugo yesterday, he's a technician. He you throw out today is about velocity and spin. He's kind of I look at him like kind of a throwback. He's just a pitcher, and he's not going to overwhelm you with velocity, but you better get it ready.
Yeah,
and it's really fun to watch him pitch.
He's going to kitchen sink you too. I mean, he's got about 9-10 pitches out here. There, he's got his pitch comm on his belt. He's calling pitches, and he can spin it. But he's very unpredictable. A little, you know, Chris Bassett, who we face a lot in the East, is a little bit similar to that. But we faced Lugo twice this year. We had a little bit of success against him in Kansas City earlier in the year, and then he really pitched well here last month against us and kind of shut us down. So we know we got our hands full, but we're excited about it.
Well, Aaron, I appreciate you coming on, man. I'm proud of you. I wish you all the best. You know that. We'll be watching every pitch here in the Boone part of the country. Mom and Dad and obviously me and the family. Thanks for doing this. I wish you all the best. For those of you out there, check out our new YouTube channel. And if you got any questions or you got any comments, send it to BrettBoone10@yahoo.com. That's BrettBoone10@yahoo.com. If you download the episode, download it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, keep it here.